Like Evan, it's not a sunny morning, but it's one of those mornings that's just still beautiful. Good to see everyone out. Of the visitors, I do have my mom and stepdad with us this morning. And I do have PowerPoint this time. I remembered to check. Hi, my name is Spot. I'm a happy dog. I'm happy because I love my master. He takes such good care of me. He treats me good. I know my master provides for me. He loves me and I love him. Things work out good because I know my place. He tells me what to do and I do it. Sometimes I don't do what I'm supposed to and I get in trouble. And I don't like making my master upset or mad. I know he just wants me to be good and he wants me to be safe. I am so happy and content to be with my master. I don't like it when we're separated. I can't wait for him to get home. I will protect and defend my master. I will always stay with my master. I will not leave his side. I love him. I love my master. And I love to hear him say, "Good boy, Spot." I am proud to be his dog. Meet Tuffy. Tuffy's my dog. Me and Tuffy got off to a little bit of a rough start. And we had a meeting of the minds one morning. But what caught my attention was the fact that after that, he's sitting right back by my side. And he got me to thinking about the dog-master relationship. Yes, I'm saying we can learn from dogs. We can be like a dog. And by the way, I often get, not criticized, but instructed that I don't need to apologize, that I apologize too much and I don't need to. So I say this with humor, with a smile. I do apologize that y'all are going to have to hear me say the word dog a lot of times because it's three letters, one vowel. I add a lot more vowels than should be allowed in a word. I'm not exactly calling you a dog. I'm not exactly calling me a dog. It can be derogatory. It's been derogatory for many years. It was an insult. These days, not so much. We hear people, "Hey, what's going on, dog?" My first encounter with that was somebody said, "Thanks, dog." I went back and had to ask somebody, "Is that a good thing or a bad thing?" They said, "No, if it's spelled D-A-W-G, it's a good thing." So, but what I'm getting at is I want to observe the dog and master relationship. We've all seen it. Many of you probably have dogs. Not everyone likes dogs. I grew up with them. I'm soft-hearted towards them. I love them. But we can sit back and we can watch their relationship with the master. And when in a good home, when having a good master, a good environment, dogs know their place. Through teaching and training, they know that they are the dog, not the master. Not always are they good at this. Tuffy is still a work in progress, just like me. A work in progress. We've got to learn our place. The master is in charge. He calls the shots. Unlike cats who think they rule and can do whatever they want. We should know our place. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. I don't see us doing anything in these two verses. It was God who created. It was God who gave life. I think that puts him in charge. Let's turn over to the Psalms, the book of Psalm. And let's look at some here, starting in chapter 24. 24th Psalm, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Staying in that same chapter, moving down 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Back up a few to the 22nd Psalm. Verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations. 25th Psalm. Verses 4 and 5. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day. Let's back up now to the 19th Psalm. Verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. And then staying in that same book, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, not mine, your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And then one more, the 33rd Psalm. Verses 6 through 11. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. And I went an extra verse. God is in charge. God is over everything. It's His world. We're His people. He calls the shots. Glory to God. We're indebted to God. Psalm 19:14 said, my Redeemer, God bought us. He gave His Son. He spilled His precious blood for us. He bought us. He owns us. Now, I have two dogs. I have a little poodle. We went to the store. We bought her. I own her. We have Tuffy. Didn't pay money, but because Evan won't take him back, I now own Tuffy. But I like Tuffy. He's getting there. But I'm the master. I own them. They're my dogs. I tell them what to do. I work with them. I train them. But they're my dogs. I'm the master. Some of you may have seen this. Maybe dating myself. But there was a movie, Turner and Hooch. I don't want to say inherits, but he comes about an old junkyard, gruffy dog. And he has taken to his house and let him live there. And then when he goes in, the first thing he does is he takes him through each room in the house. And he says, this is the kitchen. This is where I cook, whatever. This is not your room. He goes to the living room. This is not your room. He finally shows him his room. He's laying down the laws. I'm the master. This is my house. You're going to do what I tell you to. The dog, Hooch, didn't listen to this. He wanted things his way. He wanted to get into too much trouble, and he did. He got into mischief, got in a lot of trouble. We too can be like this. We don't learn our place. We try to make the rules. We try to call the shots. We want to pick God's Word apart to suit us, to suit our wants and our supposed needs. Over in Exodus chapter 32, this is where Moses has went up on the mountain. The people are getting restless, impatient. And we read the first 10 verses. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down and to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who has brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then let me alone, and that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make you a great nation." Verse 8 says, "They quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them." They turned away. They got bored. They got idle. They got impatient. They started wanting things to satisfy them right then and there. And so they started trying to make the rules, what they were going to do, what they were going to worship. In verse 9, the Lord says, "Seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people." They're stubborn. They're hard-headed. We just sometimes can't get it through our heads that we are not in charge. God is. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. "But false prophets are also arose among the people, just as there also will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly induce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." Being warned here of false teachers, and that we will follow because of greed, because of selfishness. We get selfish. We get greedy. We see things. We get impatient. And we want to follow that. We want to give in to that. But we can't. We've got to follow God. We've got to remember He is the Master. And we need to know our place. Dogs are happy and content when a good master and a home. When they know they're taken care of, their master provides for them. They know they are loved. They are happy and content. Don't we have a great master? Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. God's going to take care of us. He's going to provide. Dogs are happy and content being in their environment. They're happy and content being in the presence of their master. We see this. They'll sit by them or they'll sit at their feet. And they're happy there. It's their happy place. As you know, a few weeks ago, we went on vacation. And it was a gift to us. It was gifted to us. And we had a ball. We had a blast. It was one of the best vacations I've ever taken. Very nice place. I don't say it to brag. I say it because it was so much fun. And it's a place that I won't ever get to go again, probably. But we had a lot of fun. Wonderful time. Some may say, well, boy, you must have done a lot. That must be a great place. It was just that I was simply with my family, sitting with them, being with them every day. I was in my happy place. I was happy. I was content. Being close to God should make us happy and content. It should be our place we want to be. We should want to be in God's presence. Let it make us joyful. Psalm 21, 6 says, "For you make Him blessed forever. For you make Him most blessed forever. You make Him joyful with gladness in your presence." And then 51, 11 and 12. "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." We want to be in God's presence. And when we sin, it separates us from God. It says in Isaiah 59, 2. It separates us. And we should make correction. We should reunite with God and be happy and content. Dogs will defend. They will protect their master at almost no cost. They will watch out for them. Through my years of repair service in UPS, I have watched this firsthand. Dogs will protect their homes. They will protect their masters. And it's always interesting to see. Sometimes you walk up and the dog will come between you and their master. They're watching out. They're saying, keep your distance. Sometimes the dog says, I don't want you here. Get out. I say, okay. Your package is at the end of the driveway. But dogs will guard. They will protect. They will defend. We need to be ready to defend. We need to be ready to stand for the truth. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. We're all familiar with this. Chapter 2, verse 14. And this is coming off of... We'll back up a couple of verses, saying in 12 and 13, "And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean?" This was the Holy Spirit. "But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day." And he continues. He's taking his stand to defend. This is the Lord's work. Turn over to Ephesians. Chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 11 through 18. Another familiar passage. Well, actually go to 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Be on the alert. Defend. Take our stand. Proclaim God's Word. Second Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Preach the word, be ready. Psalm 96:2 through 3. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day, tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the people. And then in Psalm 26 and 7, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. We need to be ready to proclaim God's word. Tell people others. Be ready to defend. God doesn't really need our help. God's word has stood for years now and will always stand. But He needs us to go out there and share it with others and tell others and always be ready, because it's under fire. We see it every day. It's under fire. We need to be ready to make our stand and proclaim His word. Defend. Dogs are loyal. This is probably what stands out the most when you think of a dog and a master, is a dog's loyalty. They're faithful. They will stand by their master. They will not leave. Sometimes they do. Dogs stray off. They run away from home. They get out somewhere. They chase a squirrel. Next thing you know, they don't know where they're at. When they do this, what happens? They're lost. They're snatched up. They're taken away. Killed. All kinds of different things. For the most part, in a good home, well trained and taught, a dog will stay. They will remain with their master, even when in the doghouse. And I think some of us know what that means. But that's another subject for another day. But even when disciplined, they come back and they're by the master's side. It goes back to what I very first said. That's kind of what started all this, was just the fact that Tuffy was right back by my side. We see people sometimes in the church. We see people just in life. We're disciplined. We face consequences of our sins. And we turn around and we blame God and we walk away. We have to be loyal. We're going to face hard times. We're going to get in trouble. We're going to be reprimanded. But we learn from it and we stay with God. We remain loyal. We stand by our master. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But even if He does not, let it be known to you, O King, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And we all know this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, threatened with death in the fiery furnace. If they didn't worship the king's idols, they did not back off. They stayed loyal to God. Of the 150 psalms that were written, David wrote 75 of them. And we know that David has had his share of troubles. Saul trying to kill him. The great sin with Bathsheba. He's been reprimanded. His loss of firstborn, the consequences of his sin, the rebellion of his son Absalom. But David didn't waver. He didn't leave God. He stayed loyal to God. Over in the 27th Psalm, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And then going over to the 31st Psalm. I'm going to read the whole Psalm, so... In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Your righteousness, deliver me. Incline Your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For You are my rock and my fortress. For Your name's sake, You will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For You are my strength. Into Your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in Your loving kindness, because You have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul, and You have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of me. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take my life away. So now I'm going to walk away because I'm tired of this. I'm not going to be loyal. I've been through too much. No, it's not what David says. 14. But as for me, I trust in You, O Lord. I say, You are my God. My times are in Your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make Your face to shine upon Your servant. Save me in Your loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon You. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. How great is Your goodness, which You have stored up for those who fear You, which You have wrought for those who take refuge in You before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of Your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for He has made marvelous in His loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before Your eyes. Nevertheless, You heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to You. O love the Lord, all you His godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalms of courage, trust, and praise. David doesn't give up, wants to grow closer. He remains loyal. He remains faithful. Why? Why stay faithful? Why loyal? Well, God wants us to. We should want to. God is so good to us. God takes care of us and provides for us. He's patient and merciful. And our souls are at stake. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Now what? Verse 8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. A crown of righteousness. Our souls get to live on with God in heaven. To be with God in heaven, we have to care for our souls. We have to watch out for them. We have to stay faithful. 1 Peter 1:9 says, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. The outcome of your faith is saving your soul. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Preserve the soul. Have faith until the end. And you know, and after verse 39 here in Hebrews chapter 10, we have chapter 11, which we all know. It's the triumphs of faith. It's the hall of fame of faith. And in those mentioned, there's David. All these people mentioned, they stood with God through all kinds of different trials, all different times in their lives, goods and the bads and everything. They stood with God. They stayed loyal. I said it once before and earlier that dogs are at peace sitting at the feet of their master. We can learn from dogs. I know that sometimes sounds like a weird statement. I'm not trying to make light of anything. But if we know our place, we know that God is in charge. We know that we're not in charge. We don't call the shots. We recognize that there is a God and He's in control. He created everything. We know our place. Too many times a day, people do not know their place. Happy and content. We know God cares for us and He protects us. He watches out for us. He's going to be there for us. We can be happy and content. And then defend, we stand for God's Word. And then loyal, we be dedicated, we remain faithful to the end. Then we can sit at the Master's feet. We can be with God for an eternity. That is what we strive for. You know, we call dogs man's best friend. Wouldn't we like to be called God's best friend? I thought I was getting right to the end and it was going to quit working. I hope that this has given us something to think about. I hope it's been beneficial. If you're here and you've never named the name of Christ in baptism, now's a good time. Not because I'm up here, not because I'm telling you. It's because God wants you to. We don't know what the next day brings. We need to take advantage of the moment. If you've been baptized, but you've fallen away, fallen to temptation, you've strayed from the Master's house, you can repent and come back. God loves us. He loves us all, and He loves us so much, and He's so patient that He says, come back to me, and I will take you. If you have either one of these needs, you're here and have either one of these needs, would you please come forward as we stand and as we sing? Hear those.